Wake up to Red FM Breakfast with KC.
I wake up early every morning.
Cork's Good Times.
Good time.
Red FM.
Lyra, how are you, darling?
She's back in town.
Is she a separate person to Laura now? Does she exist in a different world, a different realm? Is Lyra someone you become?
Not really. It's one person.
Yeah.
But I always say she all the time. Like, even when I'm talking about my songs, I'm like, oh, she's coming out.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Because she can get away with anything.
Oh, she gets away with murder.
But you have to stay, you know, pretty grounded and together.
I have to stay babysitting my sister's kids.
Is that what you were doing last night?
That's what I was doing.
So have you got kids yourself?
I do not know.
Would you?
You know what? I 14 kids coming out in the album. That's about
you're
it.
I know you're only a child yourself, but like, is this something down the line that you'd love to have? I'm sure
God,
it would be.
Yes, I bloody love kids. Yeah. I actually used to work in a creche for free.
Yeah.
Like a kind of a soft play area because I just love kids.
Okay.
My sister is three. She's twins that are two and a 4-year-old is turning 5 at the weekend. Oh my God, I feel like she's a teenager. I'm obsessed with them.
Mm-hmm.
I literally am like Nanny McPhee. I have them all going around in the Lyra costumes. When she's singing, like I love them to death.
Yeah, they're amazing little things. Not at 3 in the morning when you're trying to get a kip like last night. And you
last night.
Had you a baby dancing on your head?
Yeah. And he's like, yo, that's what he calls me, just screaming.
Because
like,
he yo-yo.
Go to sleep, yo-yo.
Oh, brilliant.
This is me.
For people that don't have children, they love having them, but you have the advantage of handing them back.
I do.
You get to throw them back.
And then you get very sad when I do that, though.
Yeah, listen,
I'll be at the airport now on Thursday. I'll be bawling my arse off.
Life is long, and the family, all that family crack will happen in time. But we have to concentrate on some very serious stuff now. The fans, your many, many hundreds of thousands of fans around this country lost their mind with the news that there's a new album coming out. Your baby, your Sonic baby has been born.
Yeah.
And tell me, when you christened the Sonic baby, what are we calling this?
It's going to be called Lyra.
That's it. Simple enough.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
Debut album. I'm going with Lyra. I feel like it's very telling as me as a person and as an artist. So I feel like it's a full story of me, how I got here, what I've been through. So I thought.
There goes the phone. Oh my God.
Bye bye.
Not the good phone.
Oh God, I'm sick of that phone. So I felt like it was great just to call it Lyra so people get to know me. That's what it's about.
Okay. Who would you prefer people to know? Again, you or the artist you?
I suppose once they get to know me, they get to know the artist me as well. Because like when I'm on stage and I'm singing and then I stop singing in between songs, I'm me. I'm not somebody else. I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm not trying to be this persona. You know, I'm just myself. So what you see is what you get, that kind of vibe. So the way I'm talking to you now is exactly how I'll talk when I'm... That's just me.
Even though they called you Beyonce with a West Cork accent.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Stortingarn.
I wish I had her arse. I'm not going to lie. I wish I did. I don't need the money. I just need the arse.
Is that the only thing you think you're missing?
The only thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
And maybe her dance skills. I did see her live and the dancing. Oh, my God.
How good is she live?
Oh, my. Like, I genuinely think if you could afford the tickets, you should go twice because there's so much going on.
Yeah, you can't.
I was like,
it
what is happening here?
And are you, consciously or subconsciously taking notes all the time when you see someone like that performing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. You're like, oh, my God, that looked really good or that sounded really good or the way she entered into that song was really good. And obviously, they've been crafting for years and years and years and they have it down to a T. Like, Beyonce took 4 years to create that live show. 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even if I came away with, like, one thing that inspired me, I'm like, great, that's it for me.
Growing up in West Cork, how lucky were you to come from, that's my favourite part of the world.
Eating muck.
Eating muck and driving around in, like, tractors and all that kind of crack.
Well, I still can't drive, so I'd know what happened to me.
Really?
I was just left making mud cakes pretending I had a cafe in the middle of a stream.
Love it.
My nan was like, would you get in? You'll get the debt of cold of you.
Yeah, but can you remember the first time you heard a song and it turned you into, your love of music just grew from that? What was the first track you heard where you went, what's that all about?
I think Fleetwood Mac The Chain was a massive one for me because my mom and my sister used to play it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they were Fleetwood Mac fans. So I kind of was lucky enough to kind of being brought up with that old worldy music, like the Carpenters and Fleetwood Mac. My mom just really loved them. Obviously Mary Black as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Of course, Mary. Did you
have
it in there?
Did you have the Woman's Heart CD?
Yeah.
Growing up.
Well, my mother did.
There was a copy of it in every house. Yeah.
And then you have the new program that's like Ashley B singing it. And now I can't get the lonely woman. I'm like, I can't get it out of my head. It's so annoying.
All right. So Mary Black, Beyonce, who else is the big influence in your life?
Sia is a massive influence to me.
Please tell me you have my favourite album of all time, 07 Simple Things.
I mean, downloaded, yes, which is a crime because I'm an artist. I should go out and buy it. I know. Don't shoot me.
Yeah. No, not at all. But her stuff with 07 is where I found her. And she was the lead vocalist of that band for, I think, the guts of 10 years. And it took her so long.
Yeah.
I mean, she was late 30s, I think, before she got international fame, before she blew up. Do you like the idea of Sia concealing herself, covering herself, again, she's almost got this performance character and this Sia human being. Do you like the idea of kind of hiding yourself behind a wig or the way she uses her hair to conceal herself?
I spend too much money on getting the makeup done. I'm not hiding it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting banged for my buck.
You're looking at this lovely face.
I'm like, sorry. And as well, I quite like having the eyeball experience of people that you can actually look into their soul. I'm on stage and like, I look around the room and I'd like to be able to see people. Mm-hmm. So I probably would never do like that much of a mysterious thing. Mm. I do actually feel sorry that Sia felt like that she had to do that, which, you know, as an artist, you should be able to enjoy your art. I also did get told in the industry by somebody that, you know, maybe they weren't going to release her because, like you said, she was in her late 30s when she was coming out. Mm-hmm. And they weren't going to release her because of that, which I find extremely sad because her music is amazing.
Yeah.
And she's written bangers for so many other artists.
Yeah,
that,
it's incredible.
You know, we don't even know about and we think, oh, that's just a so-and-so song. But it's like, no, actually, Sia wrote it for them, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of felt a bit sorry for her that she felt like that she had to hide her identity. If I was sorry, I'd be loud and proud. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, this is me. I write amazing songs. Her voice is so unique. It's unbearable.
The range on it.
I mean, I can't cope.
It's different gravy.
It is.
Yeah.
That gravel sound. I'm like, should I take up smoking? No, it's bad for your health. I'm not going to do it, but...
Yeah. Who is your hero in music then? When you think of all of the, you know, all of the people that you've listened to across the years, they all play a part in who you are.
Yeah,
who's your icon?
I do think it would have to be Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's just because she always, like, progresses with the time. Like, she's always evolved herself as an artist, you know? Mm-hmm. She's not as scared to go into different lanes, you know, she's not scared to make different type of music that we're not expecting her to do. The amount of effort she puts into her craft, I think is amazing. It's remarkable. Like, you know, not a lot of people go to the lengths that she does to give her fans the best version of her. And she does that.
And you can go into the argument that she has got the funds to do that and she's got the producers and the backing team. But she started from somewhere, like you know?
She did. Yeah. She started from somewhere. She kept going. She kept bringing out great stuff. Like, nothing knocked her back.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very... You know, I obviously watched the documentary on the Renaissance tour. She's very level-headed. She's very about family. Like, she's, I don't know, she just seems like somebody who I would aspire to be.
Yeah.
Even, like, take away, like, the massive name of Beyonce and, like, the scale that she's got to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even not getting to that scale is fine by me, but, like, just keeping the values that she seems to have kept and what she wants to give back through her music. That's what I aspire to be. I think it's amazing. Like, taking 4 years to make sure you give the best show to your fans is dedication.
Massive.
Most people are like, I'll spend a year doing it and I'll, you know, cash in on the tour. Like, I don't know. 4 years is a long time to give to a tour that you want to be the best.
You've got an incredible reputation already for your live shows and what you put into them. And I'd say you come off that stage and you are bait after it.
Bait Brigade. I mean, I am gone, Don Perignon, Arvidarchi, RIP me. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And I'm normally so emotional. Like, I can't go through comments and stuff like that until like the next day because I get so emotional about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually recently tried to start spinning because I have to get my stamina
get the energy
up
out.
Because, like, it's a lot of moving, it's a lot of singing.
Mm hmm.
And like, I know people are like, oh, why don't you get backing vocalists, or why don't you just not sing that? But I want to give everything. When I'm on stage, I want to give everything.
But dancing, so and, dancing and singing is so tough.
So hard. And I can't even bloody dance. So I don't even know what's wrong with me. I'm just moving my limbs. I'm like, I'm like a jellyfish on I don't know what. Oh, God.
Yeah, but have you ever had a stage disaster? Have you? Have you ever fallen off a stage?
I've never fallen off, thanks be to God. I have had my heel fall down the crack of a stage and it gets stuck.
Oh,
and I
right,
was
okay.
like, there's a new day dawning. Somebody help me with heel. There's a new day. Help. Literally to my drummer looking behind like, there's a new day. He's like pointing at my shoe. I'm
do
like,
do you not have code? Do you not have a, like is there
no,
a word?
I need to actually
You need
this.
A stage word, not a safe word, a stage word.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dead. And I've obviously had a lot of ripped outfit malfunctions, like dance around one time and ripped the arse out of my cat. Suit and I had to keep going. Like, I wasn't, there was no change of outfit. I'm not Beyonce. There's no like 15 outfits designers waiting behind stage to dress me. Like, it was like, this is my outfit. That's it.
That's it.
So I literally had to do the whole show and just try and not turn around, or if I did, do it really fast.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what kind of knickers am I wearing? What's going to happen here? So,
yeah. Lose. How do you write a song?
It's very emotional for me when I write music. Mm. It has to be like about something that's happened to me.
Yeah.
It has to be the right time to write about it. Like, there's a ballad on the album that took me 6 months to write because it was about
six
a breakup.
Months?
Yeah.
That's an episode of The Simpsons.
I know.
Yeah.
So that you better like it. just because I was too emotionally attached to it at that time, that every time I went to write something, I just start bawling my arse off crying, and I was like, well, this isn't helping. And I was getting too angry, and then I was like, I don't want to come across like this bitter ex-girlfriend, so I'd step away from it again. It's going through those phases, you know.
Oh, so this is it's anchored in reality then, is it?
The whole thing is in reality. Like, everything I write has to be about me. It has, I mean, that sounds so up my own arse, but not in that way. But I have to be very connected to the song. Mm. So I write a lot of it just sitting at home on my own on the couch with my iPad, a few chords. And I'm like, okay,
something
I'm
going
to write about this.
Yeah.
And then it just pours right out.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it is. It has to be an emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just write what somebody tells me to write because I won't be able to get up stage and reconnect with it.
Yeah, of course.
I need to be able to go back to that exact experience and like be like, yeah, come on.
Bring it on.
I'm ready.
So if somebody wrote something for you, do you take songs from other people if it was, you know, something that you loved and you really wanted? Or do you just prefer to keep it?
At the moment, I don't, just because I haven't had the need to yet. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually really struggled to, like, minimalize it down for the album. Like, mm-hmm. it was at one point they were like, well, this is like a double album. Like, nobody brings out a double album for their first debut album. And I was like, we have too many songs.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, like, I have that issue at the moment. So I'm not, like, taking songs in that other people write. But it's not something I would say no to. Like, if somebody was like, I've written this song, I think it's very much you. And if I listened to it and connected to it and also was able to, you know, add myself into it,
mm-hmm.
then it would be something I'd be open to. But at the moment, it's just all about me.
Okay. Who's the dream collaboration then?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go and say Beyonce because that's just ridiculous.
You've given her too many plugs and this
Sorry,
is all about this
B.
is all about you.
Queen B. I would love to do a duet with Hozier.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good call.
I mean, mm-hmm. I would be scared and nervous as hell, but that would be a thing.
I think that'd work really well, and it'd have to be a ballad.
Oh, I'd die.
Yeah.
I'd die for myself.
Yeah.
He would be like a massive duo for mm-hmm. me. I would love to do something with like Calvin Harris or David Guetta, something fun.
You've gone into the dance arena with John Gibbons and you know, you've knocked you went back, you took a Stevie Nicks track and blew it out of the water. It was an absolute belter. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you like doing as well. So, I mean, you're dipping your toe in everything, really.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not going to lie, the start of my career was very much like, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You write this kind of songs and that's it and blah, blah. And I was very hard on myself and I almost got a bit too strict. And then everything else was kind of happening around me and I was like, you know what? This is not fun anymore. This is actually like a train wreck. I'm going to mentally break in every single way. And I was like, right, you need to start having fun. Like, take the reins off a bit. Let your bloody hair down. Mm-hmm. Half it's not yours anyway. It's extensions. So just go for it, girl. And I just decided, you know, life is for living. It's very short. We went into COVID. No one knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to enjoy this road for as long as I can be on it. I'm going to enjoy it. So if I want to sit at home and write a ballad, I'll sit at home and write a ballad. If I want to sit at home and write a pop song, I'll write a pop song.
Yeah.
If I want to do a collaboration with John and it be a big dance track that I never thought in my life I'd ever do, I'm going to do it. It's so much fun doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When I play it live, I see everyone else having so much fun. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what this music is about. It's about the audience enjoying themselves. I can get up there and serenade myself and everyone be fucking falling asleep. So, sorry, I said F. I said F. I was doing so good.
No, it's okay. We're 17 minutes into it. First F-bomb. That's fucking great.
Here we go. We're out. L.
What's it like up on stage when you see people sing back stuff that you've written sitting on the toilet or lying in bed or wherever it might be?
Mad.
Yeah.
It's mad. It's like, I have to try. I've tried a lot to like train myself not to cry.
Yeah.
Because as you know by now, because I've used the word emotional in Beyonce so much.
Yeah.
I'm very emotional.
Yeah.
And like the first couple of times it happened, I couldn't contain it. I actually physically couldn't sing the song.
Okay.
So I had to like make myself kind of, I don't know, a bit harder and like step out of it. But to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Is next level. Especially like I started playing chess to test the water, see if people liked it. And even at a lecture picnic, people were by the second course like, you just want to play? And they were like, chess?
Yeah, wow.
Chess? And I was like, yeah, chess.
We'll go with it.
Yeah, so yeah. It's great. It's fantastic. It's cool.
Happy days.
Yeah.
You seem to be in a very, very, very good place, a very happy place.
I'm so happy.
You've got the buzz of the album coming out and then I presume there's a ton of gigs coming down the road.
Loads. There's 22 in Ireland. We've actually had to add more dates because they're all selling out, which is so amazing. And I'm so thankful, by the way, to everyone. I was like, oh my God, is this going to actually happen? So I'm doing a lot, but I love doing a lot because this is me. I'm finally getting it out.
This is what you're aiming for, you know?
And I've wanted to have this out for ages, you know? Yeah. And we all came across things that like push it back. So it's finally here. So I'm going to work my arse off and I'm going to make sure everyone gets the best version of me.
Brilliant.
And the best version of my music. So
you're doing, doing Cork and you're doing West Cork. Amazingly proud.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you back here in the first radio station to ever play you on the radio. This is Red FM.
Always my babies, the Red FM, the rebels stick together.
That's the style. Lyra, the album's coming out. Can't wait to get a hold of it. And best of luck with everything.
Thanks so much. Thanks a million.
Wake up to Red FM Breakfast with KC.
I wake up early every morning.
Cork's good times. Good time.